Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to The Millennial Dad, where I, Adrian Trotter, go into the funs and fears of raising children in 2018 as a millennial. This episode will have no profanity, and I'm still on my nostalgia kick. Last episode, we talked a little bit about what happened in 1998 for Adrian, and how it affects his outlook on raising kids. I hope you enjoy this episode. Hello, guys, and thank you for tuning in to The Millennial Dad today. Today was just a great day. I got to connect with a couple of my clients. I figured out some things that I had errored in my business, if you will, and it's stuff like that really makes for a great time. I know that's kind of vague, but I had a lot of business accomplishments today. Anyways, I was on my nostalgia kick last episode, and this episode before that I was on it as well. One thing I failed to mention about that timepiece was a little bit about personal life. I talked a lot about the technology, about the Goosebumps books, and my wife commented that there were a lot of like indoor activities. Folks, don't get me wrong. It wasn't like these are the only things I did was play video games. I was outside. I had a scooter riding around Nova Wood. I actually didn't know how to ride a bike yet, but I played Foursquare, dodgeball. There was a lot of outside and sports-like activities. I was a pretty active kid. Family-wise, during that time, my grandpa, who, remember I talked about my Bible school, I had a grandpa who I called Papa, who taught a lot at the school. He was more of a spiritual leader of the institute, and in 1997, in June 5th, he passed away. And that was my first time ever dealing with death. And remembering back then how my father consoled me because I was crying. I couldn't wrap my mind around that somebody could be in this world and then they're not. I really was devastated just from a natural standpoint of how he was my grandpa. I used to go over his house and some of my first memories were seeing him watch Court TV at his house on State Avenue or State Street, I believe, in Holly Hill. And he had Smokey, and he'd ask me about the stars and what I thought about them. And we watched Lion King together. He was just a very, very lovable and grandfatherly figure. There were a lot of moments with him that I can remember. One being the very first time I ever stole anything, because at his house he had, for one, he had like Duck Hunt, the Nintendo's game, but all the older kids older than me played that. So what I played with was he had a big basket full of like toys, like wind up toys and action figures, and there was this one little penguin that would wind up on the side that really caught my fancy. So I was playing with it. I didn't want to like let it go. And I think my mom even told me to put it back, but I decided I didn't want to. So I hid it in my shirt and took it. And then my mom found it and said, "Isn't that the toy at Papa's house?" Needless to say, the next Bible study class session, she had me go up to him and say, apologize and return it to him. And I did, and my grandpa wasn't really a mean guy. He was stern at some moments. I remember asking several times to play badminton when he was setting it up in the park one time, and he got tired of me asking a bunch of times. He just said, "No, what did I tell you?" But when I returned this particular penguin, that wind-up penguin, he just said, "Oh, that's where that thing went." Another memory I have was he had a coffee table that, all the adults kind of would stand around and talk. And I was running around it chasing something. I don't really remember what it was. But I was running and running, and I think someone even told me to slow down. I didn't do that. And I end up really hurting myself. I bashed my head against the side of the table. Everyone kind of gasped, and I was holding my head with my eyes closed. I heard him say, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah," but I opened my eyes and turned with my hand still on my head, and I see him rubbing the coffee table, like he's asking the coffee table if it's okay. He was a really great man, and he passed when I was about 7 years old. But having that happen in my family really just opened my eyes to that people die. That's just what people do, and I didn't know that that was a part of life. Like, when you're 7, you don't think somebody's going to die or that you're going to die, but you get that hint of mortality that you're someday going to die. Part of the reason I'm leaving this podcast is because I want a record of if I were to pass on that my kids could listen to and say, "Well, how was my dad?" That was one of the motivations I had for making this. Also, another thing was I want to have a documentation for how and I was before Trotter Media takes off. I feel like my agency will do well just because I put a lot of heart and soul into it, not to mention capital, but I want to do a lot of good in this community. I've heard a statistic or read it passed my consciousness, if you will, that 57% of businesses do not have websites at this time. That is more than half, so I thought to myself, that's a great mission to have, is to start getting them beautiful websites done. Anyway, so last episode I talked about my friend Riley and how we became friends. We didn't have the same class, but what we did have was this commonality when it came to video games or characters that we both knew about. We talked about Mega Man before and kind of the 90s cartoons that were out. So I would ask him, like, "Hey, Riley, did you see Star Wars, for example? Remember Star Wars Episode One?" So we'd talk about that, and we would collab on like playing on the playground. Like, we always had our turns on who was who. When it came to Star Fox, though, it was pretty consistent. I was always Falco, he was always Fox. Now, I have a huge family. I mean, three brothers, three sisters now, yes. But also, during the 1997 era, let's enter into my cousin Andre. His family moved from Little Rock, Arkansas. I think it was in 95. And they started coming to my class, my Bible class. My cousin Andre had a brother, Sean. Sean's 1 year older than Andre, kind of like how I am with Paul. Andre's my age, so Sean was a year older. Then they had a cousin called Brian. Brian was about a year and a half older than Sean, and he had a little brother, Aaron, who was Paul's age. So that being said, I bring these people up because these are kind of the people after my grandpa had died that we actually started to become closer because we actually spent more time together. We would, some of the best moments were after Bible class, we would actually act out Dragon Ball Z, like fighting and running around and all that. Also, one of my cousins, Robbie, and Joey were also a part of that, and I don't remember every character everyone was, but what I do remember was all the fun fights we used to have. We used to run around the outside of the class building, hide behind cars, do the Kamehameha wave. I was Goku. My brother Paul was Gohan. Andre was Piccolo. So whenever we would run around and fight each other and things of that nature, Andre would always like pick on Paul because Piccolo in that show, in Dragon Ball Z, would pick on Gohan to get him stronger. I do remember one time Andre hit Paul really hard, like right as my mom and dad walked out of the class building. And they would tell us, like, no fighting. That only lasted while they were there. By the time they left, we were back at it again, fighting, punching, kicking each other. All like in fun. Like, I think about it now, there was a lot of like punching, name calling, bullying, all of what you would call that. But it was amongst family. It never went that far. I remember one time getting in a fight with a kid in when I was in second grade because he had messed with my brother. My brother is a huge money saver. Whenever he would get lunch money, instead he would just either eat from a friend or something like that, and he would hold on to his lunch money, so he always had like a bunch of money he had saved. Well, enter this kid named Calvin, I think, was messing with my brother in the hallway and knocked his he had this rubber change like wallet that was kind of like a clam that held all the change. I think my dad brought it for him from the sheriff's office because it was green, and I think it even said Volusia County on it. Anyways, he gets the my brother's walking and he gets this kid picking on him and knocks his change to the ground. At that moment, I didn't know what came over me as a brother, but I just like slammed him against the wall and started punching him. And then I stopped after I saw he couldn't do anything, and then I told him in my little kid voice, "Don't mess with my brother." Those are some of the things, I mean, when I'm growing up, bullying and striving to get first place and some kids getting it, some kids not, was a part of life. I don't know if I would, now that Avner is coming into the world, I don't know if I really want the way public schools are teaching kids. I'm not saying I want my kid to be bullied and harassed all the time, but at the same time, there's a level of encouragement. I think even the coach bullied me, but it caused me to get better. I know my dad and some, bullying is such a weird term because could it mean anything to make fun of you with? Like, I'm looking and thinking about it. My dad used to call me a crook, and I hated being called a crook because crooks are the bad guys. They're the bad guys Batman and Robin fought. And when Batman, the first one, came out, I think in 1990, that was one of my favorite movies. Not the one with George Clooney, but the Jack Nicholson Joker one. I remember him messing with me. Now, I just wanted to let you know near because it is nearing the middle of the episode here. This night, Liliana came back home. I'm excited because what I did was, if you remember the last episode, I got her an LOL doll. I'll actually be talking about that in this next half. is about her arrival here and what I did after I got the LOL doll. But I just want to let you know that there was some motivation when I was growing up in this nostalgia that pushed us, that made us who we are today as, quote, millennials, 90s kids, and how technology didn't rule our lives. It was a part of it, but we got to see it grow up along with us. I hope so you enjoy this show so far. Stay tuned for the next half. So today my wife texts me and tells me that there was she's actually feeling contractions, a lot of them. And so I thought it would be wise to pick up Liliana a little early. I got through with a lot of my work and I still wasn't done, but I was at a stopping point and I texted Danielle and asked her if it'd be smart to pick up Lily after I picked her up. She said no, go ahead and pick up Lily now, so I did. Driving down Clyde Morris, I kind of had a smile on my face because I was excited for what I had in store for Liliana. I get to the after-school program at Sweetwater, sign her out, and wait for her because she's at a different building doing her homework. She just came back from her dad's and she had a story to tell me. She said she saw Black Panther, went to Dave and Buster's, I think rode the escalator playing with her cousin Shayla, and busted her knee. The frustrating part about all of this is that she almost always gets hurt at her dad's. Last year, actually 2 years ago, or a year and a half ago, she broke her arm. I'm sitting in class, and her dad texts Danielle that Liliana broke her arm. She was playing at on a water slide in Orman, the water park or something like that, going up the slide the wrong way, falls, breaks her arm. Now, I don't know how parents feel when their kids get hurt, but I know how I felt. Liliana is like my own child. I love teaching her, growing with her, and when she got her arm broken, it was horrible. I saw her like laying there, helpless, scared. We had to actually take her to Orlando, so she had to ride in an ambulance. It was just one of those horrible, horrible, horrible experiences. She does wear a cast well. I would say that she's fearless still, wore the cast for a while, had it different colors. I would say children's medicine and pediatrics are really on point on making a kid feel safe, not scared and afraid and frightened. I mean, I even remember the room she was in at Orlando when I got all of Danielle's and Liliana's stuff and brought it there. But it was just one of those horrible experiences. I could go on and on about the problems that happened, but that was one that I remember because we had to constantly visit the doctor, check on her arm. It healed in place. I mean, she runs around. You would never know that that happened unless you looked at my Facebook page. But oh man, it was rough. So when she told me about her knee incident, I really wasn't surprised. I know that sounds bad, but I knew that something goes wrong when she goes over there and she's out of our safe hands into the weekend of Disney Daddom, you know? I call it that because it's not out of a negative term, and I do really highly support him being in her life because that is her dad. I never would ever say that I wanted that out of her, out of that environment, or away from him, or anything, because that is who brought her into this world. I have high respect for him for that. But that's about where it ends. It's because it's Lily's dad, and that's for Lily. Like, I'm not condoning any of his behavior or anything of leaving, but there's a great portion of that. If he didn't her him and Danielle didn't work out or did work out, I wouldn't be in the picture. I wouldn't be here about to have my own son. So I can't always complain. So anyways, I pick up Lily. I'm excited. She's sitting in the front seat and we start talking a little bit. She's talking to me about a few things, and it's just one of those fun moments of daddy-daughter time, I call it, before we go pick up mommy. So we get home after she talks to me about kind of the songs she was singing. If I remember right, it was, let me check her little calendar here. She has a calendar. She likes to X out the days. Jack Harmon. I don't know who that is, and I probably should, but I guess she sings songs from him. She also has baby coming in the next week, she wrote. It's kind of cute. Okay, so what Danielle and I remember last episode, I believe we talked about kind of the fads and things of the 90s. And one thing that's a big, huge thing with the kids right now is LOL dolls. They're called LOL surprise dolls, and they're this ball of wrapped up toy that when you open it, there's a doll, like a random doll, random accessories, and there's different things a doll can do. So Liliana instantly, like, we go in the house, she walks over to the table, and her jaw drops. She sees the LOL doll on the table, it wrapped in yellow and all these like little pink little things around it. And I just said, "That's mommy's." And she looks at me like, "Yeah, right." And so the jig is up. I pull out my phone and start recording, and I said, "I want to record you opening this. Go for it." So she's opening it, and this thing has like a ton of wrappers on everything. So we have to separate the trash from the treasure here. And I'm recording her unlocking it and telling me about the LOL doll the entire time. It's so cute. She's explaining everything, going into like how and why these different little accessories work. Kind of the separation between the ones that change colors and the ones that don't. So we open it, and I think the first thing was a wrapper gives you a hint of what's inside. It says it's a book, a picture of a book, and a plus a picture of a worm. So you get from that it's supposed to be a bookworm. So I guess there's some bookworm thing. She opens the ball, and there's these wrappers for each thing. She feels for the doll itself, this little doll that's in a bag, and she puts that bag aside and she says, "I want to open that last." First thing she opens happens to be a little baby green video game controller. And I thought, okay, that's pretty cool. Then she opens this keychain that basically hooks into the ball that you can like carry the ball around for, I guess, further use of like carrying the doll and all the accessories. Then she opens up a bag, a small bag with a backpack inside that I guess you can hold some things that the LOL doll holds. Then finally she opens up an LOL doll. The cute thing about these things is they're not like just one like shade. They are the skin color's different, the hair is different. And this one particularly, it's the little sister of the LOL doll. So it happened to be one of the last ones that was at Walmart because when we got there was like none available at all. And I'm thinking, wow, this is a pretty popular toy, right? Anyways, this one happens to be a color changer. Liliana gathers that from the, I guess there's a package inside or like instructions or something that tells you that it's a color changer. So I get a bowl of really hot water and another bowl with ice in it, and she puts the put it in the ice, and she sees that the hair on the right hand side of her head turns like dark purple. She's excited, just switching them back and forth, putting them in the hot water and the cold and the hot and the cold, so you can see it change colors. And she's just visibly excited. I recorded the whole thing, so I'm believing I'm gonna create a video, YouTube video channel for her. So then that way, if you're listening to this and you wanna like follow Liliana's fun surprises and LOL doll thing, I think I'll build out her channel for her. And who knows, maybe she'll get a lot of subscribers. The thing that also I didn't mention about the 90s, just because I didn't think it made any difference, was I was born in a time like still where there's still some being an interracial couples looked at kind of strangely. And what I mean by that is, we're in Florida in the south of the United States, and my mom is white and my dad is black. So I'm mixed. But they never taught me that kind of stuff. They never taught me a difference between race. I mean, what are they going to tell me? Like, hey, you're supposed to be considered black, you're supposed to be white. My mom did tell me, though, that whenever I had to fill out those forms that say, like, hey, race and all this, you just put other. That's all. But Liliana's in the same predicament. Her Danielle, my wife, happens to be Caucasian, and her dad is black. So she's growing up where all you see on TV is like mostly like white, and the Prince Disney princesses is a prime example. Is there's only one that's like colored. Well, two if you consider Pocahontas. Well, three Moana. But they few and far between. Like Liliana really loved Cinderella, and she really loved Rapunzel. And there's times that broke my heart to hear her say, like, I'm not pretty because I'm not like mommy. And you know, mommy would explain to her, and I would come and like super dad and say, look at my skin, look, and put my arm next to her, and I said, do you think I'm ugly? She says no. And I just think like how, why she thinks like that, you know, like is, does anyone tell her that at school or anything? Now, Liliana and I have some pretty intelligent conversations. I think one of these podcasts this week, I'm going to surprise you guys and anyone listening and actually have like a little interview with me and Liliana where I ask her about her day and what she feels about like cutting down of trees or what she thinks is the most fun thing that happens around the house and stuff like that. I want to do all this before the baby kind of sucks up all the time and you just hear me blabber on all the time. But anyways, yeah, it's just one of those things where it's tough because there isn't a set of heroes. Well, I mean, this year, Black Panther came out and she did see that, but I never didn't get a chance to ask her how she thought about that movie. And sometimes I feel like society tries so hard to push this narrative of black versus white that in reality there really isn't that there. Like there's no, there really isn't a huge hatred on either side. It's just the media tries to show all this hate when I don't really see it. I don't. I really don't. This episode also is going to be, I talked a bit about Lily opening the LOL doll. And as it comes closer to an end, I want to say that it's tough to be a dad in this age where people are trying to push this hatred. But I feel that if I can inspire her inside herself to see the beauty of who she really is, Liliana will be okay. also with Abner, if he sees a very strong woman in his mom and in his big sister, he's going to be okay. He's going to find out that there are women out there that don't care what society tries to tell or push them into believing, that it's all about the family. Family is what really shapes the young children in this day and age. Your school only gives you so much. Your churches or your Bible schools only give you so much. It's really about what happens inside the house. Let that sink in for a second, and I will end this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I hope I hear from you or you hear from me tomorrow. Hey guys, thank you for listening to this episode of Millennial Dad. If you would like to follow me outside of this podcast, you may. I have a Twitter account. It's at Drian Trotter, or Drian underscore Trotter, excuse me. I also have a Instagram account at Adrianos, Adrianous. Also, if you just go to Facebook in the search bar and type in Adrian Trotter, should pop up, and I have an email address if you'd like to reach me, adrian@trottermediallc.com. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope to have you guys stay on for the next episode.